Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. The time is now for the Braves. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Swift Billy. She is the first lady of baseball. Some would say, I'm not saying that, but some would say she's the best part of this show.
Yeah, I would say that.
And she's the tofu queen, Miss Allie Mack.
We'll clarify that in a minute.
Yeah.
We sprinkle in a little bit of Dylon here and there.
Can't sprinkle them after a big ingredient over here. You know what I mean?
Who's running this ship?
I guess so. I mean, I'm just trying to help.
You or me? You want to tell me what to say all day? You've been telling me for the last hour what I can say, when I can show up. Man told me I couldn't show up early today. And he's the All-American. He abuses that. He was a captain at Alabama. He tries to be the captain here. He's the national champion. And he's a former Atlanta Falcon. And he's got the biggest head size on the show. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And
Pulse.
With our forces combined, we make up the morning shift.
Yeah, we do.
Is that all right with you? Did I do it okay? Did you not like the order?
I'm afraid to say anything else.
Are you upset that you didn't get to go first after me?
Because I know every comment I make will lead to 30 more seconds of rebuttals from you, and I'm ready to move on.
So it is.
Just gonna stop there.
So spicy in here already this morning.
The reality is I think we're both in a good mood. He's just... being a nitpicker. And I don't like nitpicking.
I'm always in a good mood.
I did want to mention, because Mike, you just mentioned off air that you saw a comment on my Facebook.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
But
it was awesome. It was on a 7-week old post.
It was.
Which is what really caught my attention was the 7-week old post.
It was a very nice post from a girl I went to high school with.
It was
clearly
you.
In week one.
Yeah, it was you.
I think this is week 7.
It was you announcing that you were going to be part of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 7 weeks ago. But a comment from yesterday or 2 days ago was a girl on this post saying, my husband listens all the time, and he says, you're by far the best part of this show. And you were like, well, thank you very much. And I was like, well, that sure is interesting. But I also agree with said husband. So shout out to your high school friend and her husband for listening, or him to listening.
So you said you use Facebook for one thing.
Yeah. Most of the time, I would say, yeah, 95% of the time, yeah.
Do you want to expand?
Marketplace.
Okay.
I use Facebook Marketplace. And I'm really not buying anything. I'm not in the market,
right,
per se, just cruising.
I use Facebook for three things. The Cherokee crime thing.
Okay.
For who's been arrested in Cherokee County. And it's become an addiction. I actually check out other counties now. Normally, it's because there's a little thing that happens. Like, there's like some weird, there's a weird group of dudes that when it's like an attractive female, they're like, I'll bail her out. I'll rescue her. And so I just go there for the comments. It makes me laugh. Marketplace and then to Facebook stalk.
Hold on.
It's investigative. And yesterday I had to do some investigative Facebook work.
Oh, nice.
I'll tell you more in the life of Squid, but yeah. I got to be careful with telling this one because I think some people that I know listen might be able to figure out who it is. But I know these people don't actually listen, so I can still talk about it because I'm not going to use their names. But yeah, I had to do some investigative Facebook reporting yesterday, and might be onto something.
Well, I'm very intrigued by that. Now, Mike, you mentioned you only use it for Marketplace.
Sure.
Which is why, because I know you don't use Facebook all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 95% of the time if I'm opening the Facebook app, it's Marketplace.
So whenever I see like a like from you on one of my posts,
yes,
I'm like, oh, that's so cool, because you don't use it for that. But it's never you. It's a different person called Mike Johnston.
Oh, yeah.
With a T. And I always get it confused. I'm like, oh, Mike Johnson liked my post.
That.
And then
I'll try to slide through later today. I'll try to slide through and see if I can shed some likes in there. Like, Dylan probably didn't have Facebook. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. I don't know. As a medium, it's just, I don't know.
You sit corrected, Mikey P. I actually do have a Facebook.
No kidding.
Yeah, good. I actually have a couple of different pages on my Facebook. I have, like, my regular page I don't really use, but then I also have my, like, my gaming page where I, like, promote my, okay, you know, Twitch stream and stuff, and so I post clips in there, things like that. So I use that mostly.
Okay.
I'm surprised by that. Usually people your age, Dylan, think Facebook is
He's aging out of that face.
Well, I will say there's a hole in his youth swag. I found it last night. Oh, we're going to talk about it.
Yes. I might be officially old.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it in the Mac Drop today.
I'll say this, though, real quick about Facebook. The main reason I use Facebook is because, I'll be honest, a lot of older people, like you guys mentioned, are on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But the older people are the ones that, like to support. So those are the people you look to when you want support. So Touché. When it comes to, you know, posting streams on my Twitch and trying to grow my Twitch channel, stuff like that, you put it on the Facebook, and then, you know, there those you are go. People that I actually take action.
They give you the stars. Here you go, Dylan. Exactly. Here are your stars. You get paid. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. At 6:20, we're going to have some fun figuring out our most important Falcons for the season. We're going to rate them the top 20. But first, we got to talk about the series that's kicking off tonight at Truist. Mets come to town tonight. It's Spencer Schwellenbach and David Peterson. First pitch at 7:15. This does kick off a very vital 13-game stretch. We have the Mets, obviously. Then we go to Miami to face the Marlins. Then we go to New York to face the Mets again. And then the Phillies come to Atlanta. How are we feeling about tonight, fellas?
Well, first off,
good question.
What's the deal with Chris Sale? Is it just they're trying to get the most out of, you know, and really set up when he starts? Or are they hiding something like they did at the end of the season last year? And they say they're not. And all the, you know, Mark Bowman, Dave O'Brien, Grant, haven't seen Grant mention it, that they feel this is fishy because they did the exact same thing last year. Remember, all of a sudden Chris Sale was scratched, moved back. And then, we're not going to use him that last game of that the game one of that doubleheader or game two of the doubleheader, and Grant Holmes has a start, and then you don't use him in either of the two playoff games, and come to find out he had a back issue and he was on the IL, and so, I'm like immediately my antenna's up on that, but I like Schwellenbach. Look, Peterson's a good pitcher. Peterson's ERA is under 2.5. I mean, it's technically 2.49, so it's not much under, but he's been really good. And this is a guy that, you know, he basically uses – he doesn't have a very fast fastball, but, you know, about 53% of the time he's using either his sinker or his four-seam. So he's got five pitches. He's got good stuff. I mean, he's a lefty, so you got to go out there and you got to find a way to – I think you got to – you got to work counts and get his pitch count up and get, you know, get guys on base and see if he can produce something.
What kind of manager would you guys be? Because I'm looking at this, and obviously Chris Sale's listed as a probable for Wednesday. He's going against Paul Blackburn, who doesn't have a decision this year as a 6.75 ERA. David Peterson, though, like you mentioned, really tough pitcher, 5-2, 2.49 ERA, 71 strikeouts on the season. He'll be going against Schwellenbach tonight. Like, do you match up good versus good if you're Brian Snicker right now? And let's just say it's not a back issue or something else. Do you match up good versus good and say, hey, I want to throw my best against their best? Or do you say, the way our hitters are hitting right now, I don't think we stand a great chance against David Peterson. Let's slide Chris Sale back to Wednesday where it's a more favorable pitching matchup.
I'm going to tell you something. To me, Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach are interchangeable. I know that they're not in reality because Sale is a lefty that's a veteran that is just really been dominant right now. The ERAs are a little bit different. But any given night, Spencer Schwellenbach's the best pitcher on this team. He's got the most pitches. He is the guy that's actually hitting the most velocity right now. I have all the – I'm a – you would talk about me being a Bryce Elder stan. The reality is I'm a Spencer Schwellenbach stan is what it is. I mean, I absolutely freaking love watching that guy throw. If he could throw every night, I'd love it. I like Sale, too. Don't get me wrong. To me, Elder, if I'm doing anything, I'm moving Elder to face Blackburn, and I would push Sale back to Thursday and then let the conspiracy theorists really go wild.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bo, because the word on the street that I've seen as far as the reason Chris Sale's getting pushed back is something you brought up at the beginning of the show, is just so they can have him pitch twice against the Mets.
Yeah, but they already had that accomplished.
They did.
By moving him to Tuesday. That's why I'm confused on the Wednesday thing, Dylan.
Right. So I don't know if they want him, like you said, strategically to pitch game two in case, you know, something happens in game one, and then they want him for a certain game for the four-game set. I don't know. So you can let those conspiracy theories run wild, but that's the word on the street that I've been seeing.
I think I'm actually most excited to see Spencer Strider throw Thursday if we're going through the three of them. I want to see if what he did last time out was not, you know, fluky.
Right.
Because obviously, and talked about this yesterday, I've been waiting for the middle of June for him to get the starts under his belt, for him to feel more comfortable. He looked that way, but again, it was against the Rockies. You don't ever really know, you know, what you're getting when you face a team like that. So let's back it up and let's face the Mets, one of the best teams in baseball over the course of the season. Let's see if Spencer Strider can go out and lock in. He's such a gamer, right? And he gets that, you know, that stone face attitude when he's out on the mound and he's getting his starts in, that hopefully he can back that up. I mean,
yeah, but
it stinks to even look at the fact that he's 1-5 right now. It's crazy. And he's, you know, he's way too good for that. But let's see what happens this time out on Thursday night.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's where they've done. They've changed. They keep changing their rotation up, and now they've got it set with Strider in there, where it would go. It basically, you have 1, 2, and 3. I mean, in any order, these guys could be 1, 2, and 3 for this team.
True.
So and remember, it was like it was Sell. It was, what was it? It was Sell, Holmes, and then Schwellenbach.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're
and
right.
And Elder, and then Strider. Like, so they have, it got all screwed up out of rotation.
Was it Lopez to start the year or the second game? I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
I don't know, man. That was like April, somewhere. Dude. Like,
yeah, I know. I've had
it. You know how much has happened in my life since then?
Same.
I've completely lost my golf swing. I've had a kid. Like,
that's it. We lead with the golf swing.
Well, I'm just going in order. I'm just going in order.
Fair enough. Man.
I mean,
fair enough.
You know, quite a bit. You know, I won Kansas. You know, I've gained. I'm now at second in iRacing. I mean, there's a lot happening, man. I mean, you know, so I don't ask me to remember how that was like the first day of April, wasn't it? Or the second day of, or the last day of March?
Yeah, I was going to say, way back when.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
You want to ask me what I ate for lunch in the third week of the season in the Falcons game?
No, I don't.
I can bet you it was macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully tonight we get a win against the Mets. I do feel the Braves lock in when we are playing a little more tougher of an opponent as opposed to someone like the Rockies. Sometimes we play a little bit looser. So we'll see what happens tonight. And coming up, Mike and Bo are naming the top 20 most important players. We're going to start with the O-line and D-line. Does Kyle Pitts make the list? That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan. It is 6:23. You can keep us with you as you go about the morning. If you get out of the car, you can stream us on the Odyssey app, and the countdown is on. 82 days until the Falcons take on the Tampa Bay Bucks at Mercedes-Benz, September 7th, 1 o'clock. So we are breaking down the top 20 most important players. I want to repeat that. Most important, not best. Not favorite, most important players on the Falcons team this season. Now, between Bo, who's been working with the Falcons Radio Network and traveling with the team for years, and Mike, former Falcon over here, there is no duo that knows more about the Falcons than these guys sitting in the studio with me right here. So let's get into
That's why you're the best part of the show, Allie, because you understand that.
Well, I am curious how heated this debate could get. It might not even get that heated between the both of you.
I have no idea. I'm curious, too, and this is a conversation that could go a bunch of different directions because you look at top 20. Obviously, there's 22 starters, but then there's a couple of, obviously, position battles and things like that. You throw in specialists. I think I value different things than most, but I think Bo and I, for the most part, see eye to eye when it comes to Falcons players.
It's so subjective. The list is subjective, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
Because of what you value.
Right.
And what you think you know about. Like, I would expect you and I to maybe be closer on this than maybe,
me and Abe.
Anybody after 2 o'clock on this radio station, I think would look at the. And I'm not knocking. I just think they see the game differently than we do.
I agree with that.
And, or you know, there's a couple of guys that are to consider themselves reporters, but they're bloggers or whatever. I think there's different importance and of what people see when they watch a game or when they think about a roster. I mean, you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Well, we're going to break it up by position. So again, it's the top 20 most important players. Let's start with the O-line. Where do you land on this?
All right. So this was obviously tough for me. I am an O-lineman by title and by just lifestyle choices.
Before you start, can I ask you one quick clarification?
Sure.
When you did your list, did you do it based on, like, guys you either think need to step up or have good seasons for this team to be good? Or,
yes.
Or was it, like, most important based on what you think they are as they've consistently been the last few years?
I think these are guys that you need to have good years if the Falcons are going to go to the playoffs. Okay. That's what I think of and most important.
Then we did it very similar.
Okay.
Okay, cool. I was just checking.
I've got three offensive linemen in my top 20.
Okay, I got two.
And I could have easily gone higher than that. I have Chris Lindstrom, who obviously all-pro guard, one of the highest-paid guards in the NFL. I got Ryan Neuzel, and I got Caleb McGarry in that one. I think Caleb McGarry is one of those guys that has to have a good year. I think Ryan Neuzel has to have a good year. I think we all think very highly of Storm Norton or whoever else, but there's a lot on Neuzel's shoulders to step in that role that Drew Dahlman left. I think Chris Lindstrom has to play Chris Lindstrom style of football. And Caleb McGarry obviously can't have those one or two games this year where he absolutely goes away in pass protection and gets Michael Penix hit a bunch.
I had two.
You had probably the other two?
I had no.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
everyone can talk about the – first off, I don't – I want to say this without dismissing any position, but I think center is as important as any position on a football field. The snap is probably the most important thing. What starts every play?
Yeah.
A snap. If you don't get that right, I mean, Mike, how many times we saw those things messed up last year? So Ryan Neuzel stepping into that starting spot, I had him. He was actually the second person I wrote down.
Yeah.
He was the second person that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. And I had Caleb McGarry as well because everything Mike said about Caleb McGarry, I wholeheartedly agree. But the center, you know, he's calling out protections, right? He, the snap is one of the most important things. And to me, the interior of an offensive line is where everything happens.
No Chris Lindstrom, though. Why?
Because that's why I asked you about the consistent thing. Because to me, Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom are both consistent players on this offensive line. You know what you get every week. Yeah, Jake is going to have a hiccup maybe once a game. But maybe not even, maybe less than that. Maybe like a half, every other game he has like a major mistake or whatever. But he's consistent. He's always there. He's always, you know, he's always showing up and he's always doing exactly what you think from him. And Lindstrom's very much the same.
Yeah, the reason I put Lindstrom in and not Jake Matthews is I think Chris Lindstrom just consistently plays at a higher level. And I think you are going to need him to play at that all-pro level and continue on that trajectory. It's not that Jake is not consistent to me. I just didn't include him because he's a little bit closer to an average left tackle than I think Chris Lindstrom is to a you know, an average right guard.
You know, as funny as nobody thought Drew Dahlman was worth $15 to $20 million a year until Matthew Bergeron showed up.
Yeah. And I didn't include him in my top 20.
And so I could sit here and argue that Bergeron should be on that list because he was the guy that stepped in and solidified that offensive line.
Yeah, there's right? no doubt you could make that argument.
But to me, Neusel's importance is just – and I have so many questions on defense, so I've got so many guys on defense that I think need to be – have those – have you know, to step up. I actually have 21 players on my list.
Breaking and rules.
Hold on, hold on. Can't do that. But one of them is only there – because I was thinking about comments made by the head coach, but I think I'm going to eliminate that person.
Okay. Well, so far you guys are kind of on the same page when it comes to the top 20 most important players on the Falcons this season. How about the D-line edges included in this?
This one was probably the toughest group for me. I went with, and we're including edges. I went with Arnold Ebiketie, David Onyemata, Leonard Floyd, and Jalen Walker. In my group of four for the D lineman with the outside linebacker edge kind of guys included, and that's just it was tough. I can't believe I only have one actual defensive lineman, defensive tackle. That's David Onyemata, but those other three guys, Arnold Ebiketie, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Walker, I think to be able to make a playoff run, to me, all three of those guys have to step up in numerous categories, and you obviously have to get production out of your 15th overall player in Jalen Walker. I don't even know where he fits, but I know he's one of the 20 most important to me.
I have seven.
Wow, you got the whole freaking squadron of them.
I've got Jalen Walker was the first defensive lineman I put down for the exact same reasons you did. David Onyemata was too. I think they love Onyemata. He is stepping into the leadership role of the interior defensive line. He's the veteran now of this team on that as far as the guys that have been here in the interior. You know, I think he's important. Arnold Ebiketie has been your most consistent edge player for the last couple of years because he just gives you that six sack really season. I need that again, but I need more. And then I jumped to Leonard Floyd because to me he is the leader in that room by the edge room just by the player. Well, technically, Ebiketie's got it on this roster, but Floyd's got it in the league, and he's a consistent 10 sack season. Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro.
Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't think about that one, but that's a good one.
He popped last year, Mike, but he needed to stay healthier. I now need him in a bigger way than ever. I've got James Pierce on here as well. And the reason I have James Pierce is he's going to be asked, I feel like, to do one thing, get the quarterback. I think if you look at it this year, to me, I've always felt since they've drafted him, since after the draft, it's more important that he has more sacks than Jalen Walker. Because to me, that's his job more than Jalen's is. And then I have Brandon Dorlus. And the reason I put Brandon Dorlus on here is because it is important to see growth from him. His plan all along last year was to be a guy that sit here and learn behind others. Now Grady's gone. You know, there's a couple other guys that are gone. The time is now for Brandon Dorlus.
I do want to point out this is the top 20 most important Falcons this season, and Bo has already used 9.
I was going to say, he's got some decisions to make coming up in a little bit. I'm interested to see where you went with this, but I know we got one more position to get to.
Yeah, we got to get to corner. Where do you land on this one, Mike?
I'm picking both corners that are starters. A.J. Terrell and Mike Hughes are both on my list. I think Mike Hughes obviously has to step up. I would love to see more turnovers from A.J. Terrell. I didn't include any of the nickel guys or any of the depth guys when it looked, you know, I didn't include Clark Phillips or D. Alford or anybody like that when you look at the secondary. I think both those guys, just cornerback one, cornerback two, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, those are guys that I need to see step into those roles and try to make some plays this year and stay healthy.
I got one.
Okay.
I got A.J. Terrell.
Okay.
Because to me, if you get what I expect of the importance of the defensive line, I think it becomes easier for the Hugheses of the world. But AJ, to me, if AJ can continue to be that lockdown corner and produce some more turnovers, then I just think he is important. He's the second most important player in the secondary to me.
I agree. I'm kind of shocked you didn't put Mike Hughes on there. Like, to me, that's somebody that has to play well. If the Falcons are going to make any run at the playoffs, I think that he obviously has had moments. You did not go out and draft a corner or really sign one in free agency. And Mike Hughes is kind of that guy that kind of needs to hit another rung on the ladder, in my opinion, if they're going to make a run.
The better the guys up front plays, the better Mike Hughes will play, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Because I think Mike Hughes is good enough. But, you know, we go back to the Minnesota game, and everybody wants to just talk about how confused they looked and everything. Well, why did they look confused? You know, some of those were fact that you couldn't get the quarterback on the ground.
Right.
You would flush the guy, couldn't get him down to the ground, and now you're having to cover for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds.
I think it, and I know we got to get a break. We're on the same page for the most part. I would say that just as far as his list goes so far, I would switch out Dorless with Mike Hughes. I think that Dorless, obviously I want to see him come in and have quality reps this year. I think he needs to make an impact, but that's only because of how thin I feel like the depth is at interior defensive line. And Mike Hughes, to me, has got to be on the field for all the snaps and making all the plays. So that's where I'm at right now. But we're very, very close. Very close so far.
And we're going to keep this conversation going on the most important players for the Falcons this season in a little bit. We got to cover running back, wide receiver, safety. That's going on at 7 a.m. this morning. But Bo's already used 10 of his picks. Mike, you've used 9.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how this is going to go. But coming up next, we're going to check out the front page of NBA Finals. And we've got my Ally Mac drop, guys. I'm absolutely lost on something going viral on social media to the point that I texted Dylan about it last night, and he's clueless too. But
no!
I want in on this joke. So you guys are going to have to break this down for me next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Ally Mac, Dylan behind the glass. Before we get to the NBA Finals, Mike's got a little check on the College World Series.
Yeah, a pitcher named Gage Wood last night for the Arkansas Razorbacks facing Murray State. How about 19 Ks in a no-hitter?
Oh, wow.
First time in 65 years that there's been a no-hitter thrown in the College World Series. As impressive as it comes, he did have one hit by pitch in the eighth inning. He was very frustrated with that. He said in his post-game interview that, you know, if his biggest takeaway from the game was the fact that I shouldn't have hit that guy. That's exactly what he said.
He's not the guy that, like, mother blanked the other team the other night, is he?
I don't know about that.
Well, like, remember that? Well, like, there's been a lot of
Of trash talk in the College World Series.
I didn't know if he was
that
guy.
I'm not sure if he's that guy or not. I want to give this guy a shout, though, because anybody knows anything about college baseball, he is a junior. He goes to Arkansas. He's from Arkansas. He lives, sleeps, breathes Arkansas baseball. And he had an opportunity. He did have a shoulder injury early in the year. He missed a couple of months. But he came back to his team to make sure they could win. Here's what his pitching coach had to say about the gamer that this kid is.
What I saw was a guy that didn't have to do this. Like, at no point did he have to do this. No one was going to push him and make him come back. And he wanted it for the team so badly that he was willing to. Now, this is his draft year, and he's a junior, and he's going to get someone should pick him really good. And that's a gamble, but it wasn't for him. Like, he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he was dead set on coming back to help the team. And I hope it says everything that needs to be said about him as a competitor.
Gives the game ball to his dad afterwards right there in the front row, says, happy late Father's Day. Obviously, it's a special moment, but I like it even more just because of what I know about this kid and honestly what college athletics has become here recently. He seems to stand for everything that is good about college athletics and playing for your teammates and putting it all on the line given the scenario. So big fan of Mr. Gage Wood these days after 119 pitches yesterday.
He's not the guy, by the way. That was the guy named Root. Dude, it's awesome. It's really hard in college baseball to throw a no-hitter. I mean, I think it's hard anywhere to throw a no-hitter. in baseball, but the College World Series is pretty freaking tough. And I heard they apparently when he was warming up in the ninth, the fans behind first base gave a big pig suey. Woo, pig suey.
So he had 16 Ks going into the ninth. He did hit another batter in the ninth inning, but under review, they ruled that he kind of pushed his elbow out into the strike zone. And so they made him.
I saw that.
They called that one out. So interesting stuff. But anyways, 19 Ks, man.
That's
in a College World Series game.
Good
stuff.
Incredible.
Good stuff from Gage Wood.
Well, last night in the NBA Finals, Thunder pulled ahead in over the Pacers. Jalen Williams had a great game, got 40 points for the Thunder. Here he is talking about that accomplishment.
It's something more that I'll like look back on later on than like worry about what kind of statement it makes. I think the only statement we have right now is we're up 3-2 and we still have to go earn another win. But it'll be cool to look back on later on, and hopefully somewhere down the line I'll have like a more fun answer for you.
Well, and SGA added 31 points as well. And the Pacers, they hung in there. They just couldn't catch the Thunder. Final score, 120-109.
Well, it's tough when your best player gives you 4 points. I mean, Halliburton has been kind of locked down this series. He's had some moments. Siakam, I think, gave you 28, which is kind of what you expect from Siakam. But when the guy like Jalen Williams steps up, drops 40, and SGA just does this proverbial 30, 31. You know, this is starting to feel like Dylan might be right. I still think the Pacers have at least one more in them. I did feel that was a pivotal game, though, for the Pacers to take. And they're going to have to win another game in OKC if they want to win this. But it just feels like their chance to win this series was finishing out game four. And then winning one of the next three, right? Yep. It feels like an uphill battle now because when you put it on paper, Dylan, OKC is a better team.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Halliburton and the calf and everything that he's kind of dealing with, I know that he said, Dylan, that you know if he can walk that he wants to play, but it just, man, when you put to Bo's point about him having 4 points, having the injury last night, you don't know what you're getting moving forward. It kind of feels like they're cooked right now.
Yeah, OKC in six. I mean, especially with the Halliburton injury, I think that is a big thing. And look, I understand the mantra of, you know, if you can go out there, then, you know, you need to be able to perform if you're playing. But you could tell that calf is just it's messing him up. I mean, he uses that explosiveness for a step back. He uses it trying to get to the rim. And so you could tell he's really limited in what he's able to do. And it also shows not only in him just having 4 points, but he only took 6 shots last night too. The lack of aggressiveness shows me that he's not comfortable really on that calf to try and go get those buckets that he's accustomed to going and getting. So with Halliburton being banged up, OKC smelling blood in the water, I don't see OKC passing up an opportunity in game six to close it out.
And you look at it, he still was able to create, you know, he still had some rebounds and assists. He just,
yeah.
You just can't, you need more from him if you're going to win this series. I understand, like I said, and I'm not knocking him about the injury because I understand. The thing is, it doesn't change the fact that you need Halliburton producing when you're facing a lineup as deep as OKC's is. And that's last night's a testament to that.
And I'll say one thing, too. Halliburton did do a good job while he wasn't necessarily scoring. Like you said, he did get others involved. And he did do a good job of not turning the ball over as well. But as a team, they were terrible with the ball. I think it was 23 turnovers. They gave up 32 points off those turnovers. I understand they're a transition team, and transition teams are a little bit more liable to turn the ball over when you're in transition that much, but you cannot be that sloppy with the basketball and expect to win a game with a team like OKC who's so good at capitalizing off a turnover. So they got to clean that up if they want to have any chance to get it to seven.
And game six happens Thursday night at 8:30 on ABC. Now, before we get to my Mac drop, I did want to mention Shohei Ohtani. After more than 21 months away from pitching, he returned in a big way for the Dodgers last night. He lit up the radar gun, averaged 99.1 miles per hour on 9 four-seam fastballs, topped out at 100.2 miles per hour.
Yeah, that'll work.
Triple digits.
He took almost a full year and a half off, right? Or was it closer to 2 years? I mean, almost like
it's been a while. Been a while since we've been on that. Yeah.
I think the injury came like maybe August of 23. And last year, completely, and I honestly, Allie, I'm not sure if he would have pitched last night if they didn't have a full starting rotation on the injured list.
Yeah.
I think it's 14.
August 23rd, 2023, last time he pitched.
Yeah. Wow. So almost 2 years. I mean, he took 22 months off. And that's why when we get on Strider, and I know that Strider just had the brace, but when we talk about Strider and how he's just now getting back to 98, dude, it is 13, 14 months. Yeah. And this guy went almost 2 years, and now then you look at how he's back at that level, but 2 years.
Yeah, and I think the Dodgers also, and you mentioned they had 14 pitchers on the injured list, but they're also 15 games over 500, right? It's like they can afford to wait a little bit longer. They don't have to stress people into certain situations. He also went 2-for-4 last night as the DH, and Dave Roberts was talking a couple times. He's like, I don't know, man. I just fanboyed a little bit just watching this guy wipe the sweat off his brow after throwing 100 miles an hour, then strap his elbow guard on and walk up to the plate. You're just like, this guy is an animal, man.
It's pretty amazing, but when you have a billion-dollar roster with $500 million money, like, or maybe $700 million deferred to future years, you can kind of get away with it, right? Yeah. That's what, and I'm being a little bit facetious, but their lineup is ridiculous.
I mean, it's just fascinating to watch. So I'm curious to see how he does the rest of the season, if they're going to put him in the rotation or not.
Yeah.
Now, normally I would want your full attention as I'm telling you about this story, but both of you feel free to pick up your phones and look at the video that I tweeted out from the Morning Shift account, because the Falcons put out a video yesterday, and I think their social media team does such a good job. I mean, we talked about the 100 Falcons versus Gorilla theory a few weeks ago, and then they also had the rookies guessing at how to pronounce certain cities around Metro Atlanta, and that was good and fun. But they just put out a video where they asked the team to guess Italian brain rot characters. Do you guys have any idea what Italian brain rot characters are?
Italian brain rot characters. I can genuinely say I have no clue what that even is.
Okay, so typically I would think with something that the Falcons put out, most people are aware of what they are. So I immediately texted Dylan last night. I was like, do you know what brain rot characters are?
Oh, wow.
And he was like, well, I know what brain rot is. And I said, but brain rot characters, Italian brain rot characters. And you said, Dylan?
No clue. Absolutely zero clue.
I thought it was. I thought we were talking about Zeno or something.
I get brain rot is something that's just like so stupid. Like if you just keep watching it, you feel like you're getting dumber and it's rotting your brain as you're watching it. Like I get that aspect of brain rot. But when I watched the video that the Falcons posted and they were showing these brain rot characters, I was like, I'm officially old because I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Do we have the audio of the Falcons players reacting to the videos? Okay, I feel like it was Tyler Allgeier that was like the only. Most of them knew some of them or were kind of guessing at them, but Tyler Allgeier knew all of them.
Who comes up with this?
This is real language?
What is this?
Like, who would draw this?
Good gosh.
This looks like Tyler Allgeier.
Stignario.
Would that person?
Bat dog.
Tung, 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 sahor.
I mean, this is a shark with. Play some Kyrie's.
Shark foot, shark sneaker.
Chalalelo, chalala.
Chala what?
Nah, okay, this is kind of wild, though. this was kind of wild, though.
This is what this is what Bijan reminds me of, then. Chimpanzini Bijanini.
What? That's wild. Nah.
Chimpanzini Benini. Gorilla Bananina.
Michael Petrie.
Yo.
That's the running back coach. Yeah. They're making fun of the running back coach.
Exactly.
Bijan is.
So,
love it.
If you look up what these Italian brain rot characters are, they're basically AI-generated illustrations of like a shark wearing boots. There is a chimpanzee, but it's like Chimpanzini Benini.
Yeah, the Google AI overview response says it's a surreal and absurd internet meme phenomenon characterized by strange, often AI-generated characters with pseudo-Italian names.
Okay, but you just said it's a phenomenon, right?
Yes, that's what Google AI says.
0 out of 4 of us.
Yeah.
Have heard of these Italian brain rot.
Maybe it's a phenomenon in like Italy.
Well, I was going to say, to our credit, it doesn't sound like most of the Falcons know what they are.
Well, in some of the comments, I was kind of going through it because I was like, surely if Dylan doesn't know, like, what's happening here? Because the social media team wouldn't pick out a viral video that isn't viral. It seems like, and maybe your kids are too young for this.
Yeah.
It's a YouTube trend, and there's like a song about these Italian brain rot characters.
Like a baby shark kind of thing.
please feel free to tweet at us, because this is one of the first times I've seen a viral trend going on where I'm just stumped.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel old. I need to apply for AARP.
Yeah.
I just don't understand where this came from. And normally, I just feel like it's a very, very demo-friendly when they put out these videos.
Of course. Of course, because you would think that we're the target audience, but evidently the target audience is a 15.
For the first time in a long time, I feel out of the loop. Yeah, usually, I feel like I'm usually in the loop with
usually
everything.
Usually, you can plug us in.
Yeah,
man.
But I'm completely unplugged here.
Somebody no out clue. There is listening who knows what this is and can point us in the right direction, or whose children know what this is and can point us in the right direction. I feel confident in that.
I want to find the song. I want to make sure it's family friendly, because if we can find the song, I want to play it in a little bit. But if you want to see the video of the Falcons reacting to the Italian brain rot characters, check out our Twitter account at 929 Morning Shift. And coming up, Michael Penix and Bijan probably on the list, but are there backups? We're going to break down the top 20 most important players on Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.